you, Lord.
Right.
It is better far than right. All. Oh, my brother, are you weary of the roughness of the way?
Bless him, Lord.
Does your strength begin to fail you and your vigor to decay? Farther on, still go farther, count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you,
Lord.
Never. It is better.
Thank you, Lord.
Farther on.
Amen.
At my grave, oh, still be singing.
Yes.
Though you weep for one that's gone, sing it as we once did sing.
Amen.
It is better farther on.
Amen.
Farther on, still go farther. Count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you.
Amen.
It is better farther on.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right, I took the
grandmothers out to see Mama Thanksgiving morning, and they sung that song for her.
Amen.
And they got to that part of, are you weary of the roughness of the way? Of course, they were singing, but I heard her say amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it gets to be a struggle along the way, but the promise that things will get better.
That's right.
Amen.
Farther on.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Will you pray for Brother Shock and pray for the mic messed up this morning? And I don't know what happened. Thank you, shorting it out. So we got him strapped up with another one there, so we're hoping that it'll work real good. Amen.
Amen.
But the doctor said that some older lady said the reason preachers run around and jump off the pulpit is because they want people to at least remember their actions if they don't remember their words. The preacher again went to preach for the old Indians, and he preached and hollered and screamed and yelled and ran it and raved. And when he got done, they asked the old chief what he thought about him. He said, lots of thunder, lots of lightning, no rain.
I like this morning's introduction better. Well, we do thank you for letting us come by. Appreciate the good motel room. Pastor took us out and had a good meal, good time of fellowship. We're just thankful you let us come. Amen.
Bless you, Lord.
Thanksgiving time. Today, I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw the same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore. Went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy ran in here behind the door. I said, son, never fear, you've got a new daddy. Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell him, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Amen. Well, Calvary makes a difference.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Amen. Well, I had a request. Does anybody know what that is?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
To do the song, I have to take off my disguise, you remember?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't know me, do you? But it is me, see? I think preachers like the song more than children do. When I was a little boy, I always wanted to fly. And I remember several times I was fooled. I'd run real fast across the ground and extend my arms and hands. Then I'd leap way up into the air to fly like Superman. Another childhood thing I did that made me even stranger. I'd straddle some old broom and I'd play like I was a Lone Ranger. I'd ride a while and then I'd leap like Superman again. But when I'd ride or fly, it was just pretend. Now those were my two heroes, two extra special men. I wanted to, but I always knew I'd never be like them. But now I have a real hero who's far more strong and true.
Yep.
He's Jesus Christ, the living Lord, and here's what he will do.
Yep.
He let me leave this world like Superman.
Yeah, hear me.
On that glorious day.
Yeah.
And I'll go flying through the air when he calls us right away. Woo! We will fly up through the sky to the marriage of the Lamb. But after that great wedding day, he's coming back again.
Amen.
When he comes the second time, it won't like
hey, yeah.
For he'll return as King of Kings.
Woo!
To rule and reign on earth. But when he first came as a baby, they laid him in a manger. But what a sight on horses white, he'll return like the Lone Ranger. We're gonna leave this world like Superman, right up through the sky. If Jesus takes us to the marriage supper up on high, and as we go through outer space, for us there'll be no danger. We're gonna leave this world like Superman. We're coming back like the Lone Ranger.
Amen.
Turn this thing on. I hope I don't short this one. It happened when I jumped off the platform. Amen. And everybody thought about it. So, look at the book of Genesis with me this evening. I do appreciate you folks. It's easy to preach here. It speaks well of the pastor. Genesis chapter 3. Familiar portion of scripture. Want to look at it maybe just a little bit different. Genesis chapter 3.
We're going to read from verse 1. Genesis 3 in verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The first question asked in the Bible is a question about the Word of God.
Right. Yep.
The devil's always questioned the Word of God, and he's still today questioning the Word of God. Amen. Look at verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Another quick comment. I'm glad that God still came as he always did.
Amen.
And then the question here put to Adam is not that God didn't know where he was. He wanted Adam to know where he was.
Yeah, right.
Verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege to be here in Glasgow. We thank you for Brother Prophet and these dear people. I pray that you would continue to keep your hand upon them, all the good reports we've heard. I pray you'd help me tonight. Lord, I want to be a blessing to these your people. But Lord, at the same time, I want to bring forth a challenge. I pray it be understood and received. It's already been prayed. Lord, if there's one unsaved, we pray earnestly that they'd see their need of the Savior. Yes. Give us good liberty. Lord, you helped us this morning. We're pleading again for that same help, that same good liberty, that you'd make the preaching time easy. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Bless the Lord.
As we're reading this portion of Scripture, you're very familiar with this. Even in the Sunday school, the children are taught about Adam and Eve. But here now, what I want us to take note of is a couple things, and then we'll get into the message. When we look at this, we have to understand that up until this point, everything was good.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
amen. Amen. Yeah. Up until this point where we've read, everything was good. Genesis 1, where, you know, God spoke the worlds into existence in six literal days. I believe that. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not an evolutionist.
Yep.
I'm not even a theo-evolutionist or whatever they want to call themselves. Amen.
Amen.
I believe in literal creation, that God spoke worlds into existence. Amen.
Yep.
But then what we take note of in there is that God would say that he saw what he'd made and it was good. And after he'd made everything, God saw everything that he had made and he said, it's good. Amen.
Yeah.
Everything was good up until this point. I'm so thankful we serve a God that is good.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
I appreciate the good reports here from the pastor. He said that you've had somebody saved, at least one saved every month of the year, this year. Amen. And he's trusting the Lord to do the same in December. Good things are happening. You had a good Jubilee meeting. You just come off of a good revival meeting with Brother Roark. Brother Roark's a preacher. Lord God, he's
Amen.
A preacher. Amen.
Amen.
All these good things that God's doing. Amen. Well, what I'm trying to bring out is the thought that wherever God blesses, when everything's going good, that's when the old serpent wants to slither in.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
It's when the old devil wants to raise up. That's when he wants to mess things up. Amen.
Amen.
And that's what's happened here in the garden. You know all these things. How that everything was good. God had made Adam out of the dust of the earth and placed him in the garden. And after Adam had named all the animals, all the creatures, there was found no help meet for Adam. And God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam. And from Adam he took the rib, and from the rib he made woman. And when Adam woke up and saw Eve, I've told you before, I think he took 59 laps around the garden saying, thank you, God. Amen. I mean, it was good before, but my now. Amen. I mean, everything's good. Everything's good. But that's just like our God. I like to read there in the Psalms, because you read in the Psalms where the psalmist is always testifying that the Lord is good, that his mercy endureth forever.
Right.
Psalm 136, every verse ends with, the Lord is good,
yes,
and his mercy endureth forever. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, he is the good God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. But what I'm trying to caution you on is this, that when things are running good, when things are running well, when God's blessing, that's when the old serpent wants to slither in.
Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Right.
And that's what he did here in the garden, as he slithered in. See, Eve's mistake was even talking with the devil.
Right.
Giving him any time. Paying him any mind. Amen.
Amen.
And the old devil, as I said, questioned the word of God. And Eve responded to that. I agree with the pastor. We don't have to defend the Bible. We don't have to waste a lot of time with those that always have a question. The Bible, it'll work. We just preach it. Amen. Okay. But here now, she responds to the devil and to the serpent. And her mistake was, the devil questioned the word of God, but Eve, she changed the word of God.
Right.
I mean, that's how this thing goes. The devil throws in a question and man begins to change it.
Right.
You notice what God said to Adam was, said you can eat of all the trees in the garden with the exception of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That's what God said.
Yes, right.
But that's not what Eve said, God said.
Right.
Yeah.
Eve said we can... Look there, verse 3 again. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it. He did say that. Neither shall ye touch it. God didn't say that. She added that. And then Eve said, lest ye die. God didn't say that. She changed it. Amen. God said, thou shalt surely die. and she put him there lest he die. Well, where I'm headed in this thing is that the old serpent slithered in and spoiled what God had established in the garden. Amen. Now, lest you misunderstand, it didn't catch God off guard.
Right. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
God knew it would happen before it ever happened.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Yep. So when Eve ate the fruit, God didn't wring his hands and say, "What am I going to do now?"
Right. Right. Amen.
We know that God had already had a plan in motion.
Yes.
Right.
Before he ever spoke worlds into existence.
Right.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
But here now, I'm looking at this aspect of the devil slithering in. The serpent slithering in. He came in the form of a serpent, slithered in. You know, snakes will mess up anything.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, when I did pastor in Georgia, the pastor, we were talking a little bit about it, when I did pastor in Georgia, that we did have a problem with snakes wanting to come into the basement. We had a basement up under the house, but only had an outside entrance on the back. And sometimes the kids would go in there and there'd be a snake in the basement and I'd have to go get it. Well, usually I'd hem it up and catch it and take it back out in the woods and turn it loose. And Barbara said, "You ought to kill it and come back." And I said, "How do you know it's the same one?" She said, "I hate snakes." And I do too if they're poisonous.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay. We lived in the mountains at one time and there in the mountains, we had a basement up under the house, only we had two accesses, an outside and an inside access to the basement. And she saw one of her cups laying in the stairwell of that basement. And she went down there to get it. It was in the cool of the morning. It was just cool enough to where when she went to get that cup, something moved. And she saw, and it was a copperhead laying in that stairwell. Well, I didn't catch that one. I handled it. One got a mattock and chopped his head off. Amen. That's how I handled it. When I chopped the head off that copperhead, his jaws were still a-going. Amen. Boy, you can chop that old serpent up any way you want. He's still a-going. Amen.
Amen, brother.
He's a destroyer. He wants to kill and to steal and destroy.
That's right.
The old devil never takes a vacation.
Right.
Yeah.
Pharaoh pictured the old devil in one way this morning. Balak also pictures the old devil and how Balak hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel.
Right.
You know, what's his name? Johnny the Baptist preached that riding on grace. Boy, yeah. I still remember that.
That's
riding
right.
on grace. But there with the story of Balaam, how he was hired by Balak to curse the children of Israel. And they built the seven altars and offered the seven sacrifices. And then Balaam pronounced a blessing on the children of Israel. Well, Balak wasn't satisfied with that, where he had them flank him another way. And again, they built the seven altars and offered the seven sacrifices. And again, Balaam pronounced a blessing. And they flanked him again. You get my thought? The old devil keeps flanking us.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Yeah.
If he can't outright defeat us, then what he'll do is bring us down through corruption and through compromise.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Because Balaam couldn't actually come out and curse God's people. But Balaam got God's people, the children of Israel, to intermingle
right.
with the Moabites.
Yep. Yep.
To where they intermarried and started worshiping the false gods.
Right.
Where God had to curse his own people.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Yep.
But all I'm saying is that the devil keep flanking you. Snakes, they'll mess up anything. I like the mountains. I've never made it out to the Rocky Mountains. They say there's something to see. But I'm still fascinated with the Appalachian Mountains.
Yep.
I've been all the way up in upper parts of Pennsylvania, all the way down to the foothills, different parts of the Appalachian Mountains. Folks always talk about the Smoky Mountains, but even here in eastern Kentucky and in western Virginia, there's some beautiful country in the mountains, amen?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But you know what messes it up? Snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We lived up mountains, we'd hear gunshots going off. It's where they were shooting them mountain rattlers.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Hey, snakes will mess up anything and everything. They'll slither in, and they'll come in with anybody who'll let them come.
Yeah, right.
They'll ride on any shoulder that'll give them a lift.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the old devil wants to come in when things are going good.
Sure.
He wants to get us distracted and detracted and disheartened. He wants to cause all the havoc that he can.
Bless.
Well, here, the garden was spoiled by the presence of this serpent.
Right.
Wherever the devil shows up, he spoils anything and everything that he can. Amen?
Amen.
But now, where I'm headed is this. Now, you'll have to trust me on this or read it in an encyclopedia. Somebody says, encyclopedia? You'll have to Google it then or Bing it or, you know, whatever you do. Amen? But there is such a thing as a snake line.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes.
A snake line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, I can illustrate it best with the Rockies, Rocky Mountains. We're going to get there someday, even if it's in the millennium, we'll come back and visit them. But the Rockies, they have what's called a tree line. You've seen that if you've never been there. You've seen that.
Yeah.
Where you get above a certain elevation and trees won't grow. Nothing grows.
Yeah.
It's just rocks and dirt above a certain elevation. Amen?
Amen.
Well, just as you can picture that tree line, you need to try and picture a snake line. The snakes can't survive above a certain elevation. You won't find them above a certain elevation. So what's your thought here tonight, preacher? My thought here tonight is things are running well. Things are going good. You're seeing the blessings of the Lord. You need to be on guard and not let the serpent slither in.
Yeah.
Here's the challenge. You ought to strive to stay above the snake line.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, lest you misunderstand, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. There's no such thing as sinless perfection.
Right.
There's nowhere you're going to get above sin or get above the devil.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll happen someday.
Yeah. Amen.
Someday we will really be above the snake line.
Yeah.
We're right now seated in heavenly places positionally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
But one day it'll be practically.
Yes.
Right.
We will be in the heavenlies. Amen.
Yep.
But when I'm talking about striving to stay above the snake line, you could equate it in this sense. Trying to stay on the victory side.
Yeah.
Striving to stay in the will of God.
Yes.
Doing your best to stay close to the Lord.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, the old devil did come and slithered in when our Lord was in his earthly ministry. And he tempted the Lord for 40 days and 40 nights. The devil tempted the Lord. But after them 40 days, he'd had enough.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, you and I, we can't handle him on our own.
No.
Yeah, right.
Well, we're no match for the devil.
Yeah.
Even Michael the archangel said, "The Lord rebuke thee."
Amen.
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 So we're no match for him, but he's no match for our Lord.
Yes.
And he's no match for the Word of God.
Amen.
Our Lord run him off by quoting Scripture.
That's right.
Amen. So, Mike, I've got some simple little thoughts here about striving to get above the snake line, staying on the victory side, staying in the center of God's will, staying where the Lord is. Where the Lord is, where the devil can't pull you down and destroy and wreck and ruin what God's doing here and what God's doing in your lives. Amen?
Amen.
Striving to stay above the snake line. Well, when we look at this, the first thought is simply this, and that is to get above the snake line, some adjustments will have to be made. To get above the snake line, some adjustments will have to be made. The first thought is very obvious. And that is that when you get up in the higher elevations, the air is thinner.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
I have been to Mexico, the country of Mexico, 3 times. The only problem with going, somewhere like that is you preach to an interrupter.
Right.
He can't even get all this, Humor helps. But we were all the way down to Mexico City on one trip. And we stayed 5 days in Mexico City. And they put us outside the city on a plateau. It's a higher elevation. And we were on a big diesel bus, and before we got off the bus, there was, I forget how many was on the trip, bunch of preachers on the trip, and they said, "Now, we need to warn you that they could only drive so far," and then there was a walkway up to the lodges where we were staying. "We need to warn you," they said, "the atmosphere here is different. The air is much thinner. You're at a much higher elevation. And we have to warn you that if you have any heart problems, let us help you with your things up to the lodge. Because the air is different. If you have heart problems, it'll affect you." Some of you know where I'm headed here. Amen. You can't get above a snake line with heart problems.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
That's
good. Yeah.
You're going to have to take care of your heart problems.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get above the snake line.
That's right.
Amen. Did you realize that everything in life in reality is a heart matter?
Yeah.
Salvation is a heart matter.
Yes. Amen.
It's not what you did or didn't do. It's when you believed in your heart.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Salvation is a heart matter. When your heart turns to God in simple faith.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
All right? Salvation is a heart matter. Giving is a heart matter.
Yes.
Right.
You can't make anybody give, but if they love something, they'll give to it.
Amen.
You're right.
If their hearts and if they'll give to it.
You're right.
Revival is a heart matter.
Amen.
But the one that we forget about is that sin is a heart matter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sin always starts in the heart. Did not our Lord say, when they found fault with his disciples eating with unwashed hands, did he not say, "It's not that which we put in the body that defiles the body"?
Amen.
He said, "It's that which comes from within, out of the heart of man."
Amen.
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 Sin is a heart matter.
Yes,
it starts in the heart before it ever becomes an action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So what are you saying? I'm saying you're going to have to deal with some things to get above the snake line. Going to have to take care of heart problems in order to get above the snake line. Amen? Well, not only is the air different, but also now, to get above the snake line, the adjustments to be made is not only will the air be different, but amenities will have to be sacrificed. What do you mean, preacher? We're too caught up in things.
You're right.
Yes.
You're right. Right.
To get above the snake line.
Yeah.
I see so many signs on the highway now about texting. I've seen the commercials on against texting on the television. They're scary.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the first time I saw the one, I jumped when that little girl's in the back seat and the mama's texting.
Yes, right.
I'm saying, thank God it wasn't real.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then I had to stop and think, maybe sometimes it is.
And bless him, Lord, bless him.
Yeah.
Because we're caught up with things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
We used to just talk, we'd make fun of folks with cell phones.
Right. Yeah.
They's on the phone so much that even when they shook hands, it was like this. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But now it's worse than that now.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all carry a cell phone. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
At least I tell folks it's a cell phone. They don't believe it. I open it up and they say, where'd you get that thing?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I tell you what, though, this thing that gets as many calls as yours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I even text on it. It takes me longer.
Yeah, me too. I wonder why.
One fella said, don't text me. I don't have much time. Call me. Humor helps. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I mean, we're caught up in things. Yes.
Right.
Yep. Amen.
Double about anything.
You know, when you get up to higher elevations, they're not going to have electricity.
Yes. Right.
To power anything.
Yep.
You get up in higher elevations, you may not get signals on your phones.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
Our doctor back in Alabama, he goes hiking a lot, and he likes to hike in the Appalachian Mountains. He'll go over into western North Carolina to hike. Okay, now to me, I could hike just as well around the schoolyard. But he likes to hike up those mountains, and he was telling my wife how that he hikes by himself, and he'll get out there in the mountains, and he has no cell reception. Of course, our thoughts was, what if he had a heart attack? Or what if he tripped and broke a leg?
Yep, yep.
I mean, no phone service.
Yep, yep.
Amen?
Yep.
That's the practical side of it.
Yep.
But the reality of it is, I think sometimes we'd be better off with no phone service.
Yep.
No, you know, none of these kind of things. Amen?
Amen.
I get under conviction when I read some of these, like he's talking about the missionary and different things, I read about some of their lives where, I mean, they talk about the hours of study and the hours of prayer and all these things. But at the same time, they didn't have Fox News.
Right.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
You get my thought?
Yes.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not anti-entertainment or amusement or, you know, all that kind of stuff. All I'm saying is that, hey, if we really mean business and want to get above the snake line, we're going to have to sacrifice some things.
You're right. Amen.
Amen.
Put some things down for a while. Amen.
Right.
If we're going to get above the snake line.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then the adjustments also. Not only is the air different, the amenities will be sacrificed. Here's the rough one. And that is that sometimes acquaintances will have to be left behind. People will pull you down.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's not always those on the outside. Sometimes it's those that are close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure will, bro.
Family will dishearten you.
Sure will, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You mean you're going back Sunday night? You was there all morning. We was holding the meal for you.
Yeah.
We thought about starting without you. And you're going back tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 When you have your jubilee, it's all day.
Amen.
Yeah.
You ladies, bless your hearts, and some of you men that help. Hey, that's an endeavor.
Amen. Amen.
And it'll be those around and say, boy, you're killing yourself. And for what?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Some of you are reading this.
Yeah.
Amen.
Acquaintances, they'll pull you down.
Oh, yeah.
They'll dishearten you. Anything to keep you below the snake line.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
Because they know if you get up on the victory side, you're on another level, another plane. You're out of their class. And it's not that you're flaunting anything. They just know the difference when you're above the snake line.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, to get above the snake line, some adjustments will have to be made. But then there's a second thought. It's a plus side. And that is, when you get above the snake line, some adversities will be avoided.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
See, you won't have as many allurements around about you.
Yeah. Right. You're right.
As many distractions.
Yeah.
Something that I think is a real plus is you won't have the peer pressures that you have in life. Amen.
Amen.
But when I was young and growing up, I can remember peer pressures. Everybody wanted you to conform to whatever it was at that time. Amen.
Right.
Their peer pressures. Somehow I never could fit in. Even when I wanted to fit in, I couldn't fit in. And I tell my dad, he'd say, well, everybody's doing it. And I can hear him saying, not everybody, son. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Amen. You know, the peer pressures of doing things. I believe a lot of young people try things, you know, as I walk down today. I believe they honestly try things because of the pressures put upon them.
Yeah. Yes.
Amen. Yeah. They dabble in things because of the peers around about them.
Sure.
Amen. Amen. There'll be less peer pressure to conform to something above the snake line. But probably the biggest benefit is that once you're above that snake line, the old devil has a hard time hitting you.
Right. Yes.
And if he does attack, all he can do is hit your heel.
Yeah.
Now that's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's striking up at you, and at best he might hit your heel. But he won't be able to mess with your mind as much.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
When he's attacking at your heel, you know what you can do.
Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Honestly, if the closer we are to God, the easier life is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
The less pressures there are upon us.
Amen.
Amen. The more liberty there is. Mm-hmm. You know, sin binds. The world binds, but there's true liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. All God wants you to be is you.
Amen.
He wants you to be you for His glory.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
That's comforting to me. I don't have to be a great prophet.
Mm-hmm. Bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah. All that is me.
Bless you. Bless you.
We can look at this in one sense. We don't have to be Durbin Spears. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody send us to Durbin.
Yeah.
Oh, we will.
All we have to be is me. All I have to be is me. All you have to be is you.
Yes.
I mean, it's a much easier life above the snake line.
That's right.
Amen. Some adversities can be avoided. You can have an easier life. You can have a happier life getting above the snake line.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well,
yes.
Some adjustments will have to be made. Some adversities can be avoided. But then there is a third thought in this thing about getting above the snake line. And that is that there's some advantages that can be recognized. The first thing is obvious. And that is that you can see better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
The higher up you get, the better you can see. The further you can see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I tried to get up Mount Mitchell one time. And, you know, Mount Mitchell, they say, is the highest point on the east side of the states. And we was going up Mount Mitchell, and the further up we got, the more dense the fog came to where they were stopping everybody and turning them back around. And coming down, I think my brakes heated up. I mean, you know, winding down that But I have been on some higher parts up around Virginia and West Virginia and Kentucky where they come together. I don't know what the mountain was named, if it was named. But a fellow took me up on top of that mountain, and you could see forever. I mean, you could see, you could look over the tops of them trees, and you could see everything. Amen? Okay? When we go out to the Midwest, the furthest we've been is the panhandle of Texas and Oklahoma, western Oklahoma, and Kansas and Nebraska. We've not made it any further than that. But there on the plains, you can see for miles on the plains if you've ever been out there. It's interesting, as we go into Kansas, we've gone through on US 36 out of St. Joe, Missouri. And there's a billboard there as you come into Kansas on US 36. It would say, Burger King, just ahead, 36 miles. You get out there on I-70 and you get past Salina, west of Salina on I-70, and you'll start to see billboards that'll say, McDonald's, just ahead, 29 miles. Barbara sleeps a lot when I drive. That's really no reflection on my driving. But she sleeps a lot, and she has a tendency to wake up just as I pass the last exit. There won't be another one for 29 miles. And so we're driving, and I said, I'll stop at the next exit. We just passed that one. And she said, you should have woke me. I said, no. So we're driving. She said, well, I see it up there. And we drive, and we drive, and we drive. You getting my thought?
Yeah.
You can see better. You can see further. You can get a bigger picture. Let me put it this way. You can see clearly to get your ducks in a row.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can see to set your priorities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You can see what's really important in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Getting above the snake line.
Yeah.
You can set your priorities.
Yeah.
I can pretty well tell you where you're at as far as the snake line. When you have an attitude of, after the preacher's preached, and I'm not saying he's infallible, okay? But after the preacher's preached and you grumble inside and say, well, I just don't see it that way.
Yeah.
Now, I know none of you would do that. But I've met folk that go, I just don't see it that way, preacher.
Amen.
I just don't see it that way. Well, it tells me they're on the wrong side of the snake line.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Hey, the closer you get to God, the more clearly you see what you are.
Amen.
And the more thankful you are for what He's done.
Amen.
And the more privileged you feel to be above the snake line.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, the advantages, a clearer vision. Understand their priorities. But then a second benefit there, a second advantage, is that there will be a sweeter fellowship.
Amen.
Yeah.
Above the snake line.
Sure will.
Yeah.
Sure will.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you know that all of us have our oddities?
Yeah.
Amen. We all have our little differences. Well, I got quiet then, didn't the preacher? Amen. Why? If you followed me long enough, there'd be some things you wouldn't like. Somebody said, we didn't have to follow you to learn that. I'm saying, we've all got our personalities, our oddities. Whatever, amen, make us what we are.
Amen.
All right? But see, once we get above the snake line, we can see more of Him in each one of us.
Yeah, right.
And less of us.
Yeah.
To where it makes for a sweeter fellowship.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, there are some people that you come up to and good night, why'd they come my way today? But if you're above the snake line, you can turn the cat around. You know, you rub the fur the wrong way. But above the snake line, you can turn the cat around. There's going to be a sweeter fellowship. See, there's something in all of us that binds us together. And I'm guaranteeing you, it's not us.
Amen.
Right.
It's the one that gets us above the snake line. And as long as he's the center, he's the focal point, then you and I can enjoy a better fellowship, a sweeter fellowship.
Amen.
We can walk in the light as he is in the light. And have fellowship one with another once we get above the snake line. You've heard so many stories about disgruntled people. I remember one Sam Allen told probably in the early 70s, where he's talking about that phrase, burying the hatchet, where people have, you know, they'll be at odds and they'll talk about burying the hatchet. And they'll say, yeah, but our problem is we leave the handle where we can see it.
Yeah.
We'll bury the head, but leave the handle where we can get it. You get above the snake line, you'll forget about the handle.
Amen.
There'll be a sweeter fellowship above the snake line. But then, this last thought on this, advantages, and that is that there'll be an atmosphere of worship and praise above the snake line.
Amen.
You'll be thankful you're there. You'll be thankful he's there. You'll be thankful for what he's done. You'll be thankful for who he is. There'll be a much better atmosphere for worship and praise.
Amen.
Now, our son Ben knows this. Of course, he was here one time or other with this. I hope I'm not embarrassing him. But he said, Dad, them folk get wizzy, don't they? I said, that's good, isn't it, son? Amen. He's gone some places with me, and you know the phrase, uphill both ways? You do have a good atmosphere for worship and praise. And it's not even Jubilee, isn't that something?
Amen.
Not even camp meeting. Amen. But that's how it ought to be.
Amen.
We ought to be a worshipful, worshipful people.
Amen.
You know, the biggest hindrance to worship?
Flesh.
Ourselves.
Yeah.
Number one is we've got too much pride.
Amen.
Worship isn't just running the pews and, you know, waving hankies and all that stuff. Worship starts with a humbling.
Amen.
You read Old Testament and New Testament. You'll find it in both.
That's right.
Where you read about worship, you'll read where they were falling down.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen.
We've got too much pride to fall down.
Yes. That's right. You're right.
But if we get above the snake line, we'll realize no room for pride.
Right. Amen.
Never been about us.
That's right.
It's always been about him.
Amen. Bless his name.
But I believe worship and praise are like repentance and faith. They go hand in hand.
Amen.
Right.
You don't have real repentance without faith, and you don't have real faith without repentance.
That's right.
But I believe the same thing with worship and praise.
Amen.
If you've got a real spirit of worship, you're going to have a praise for the one you're worshiping.
Amen.
Amen. Now that's important. Why? Well, you go to some places and you say, does anybody have a word for the Lord? And you'd swore, he said, you're next in the dental chair.
Yeah.
Everybody gets closed mouth syndrome. But in reality, most of them, they're too hoarse from the day before watching the football.
Yes.
Amen.
Or the basketball. Boy, I really touched the beard, didn't I? Kentucky Blue. I heard you fellas here in Kentucky that if you're cut, you bleed blue. There's nothing wrong with that. I believe the Lord intended us to have good time, good experiences. But don't leave them out in the world. The best time you ought to have is in the Lord's house.
Amen.
But most of the time we never get there because we're on the wrong side of the snake line.
That's right.
Don't want to embarrass the flesh. You know, some of these they talk about, they don't want to embarrass their flesh. I've seen them when little Johnny's playing ball. He's not big enough to hold the bat.
Right.
They set the ball on a tee, and they call this ball now tee ball. And little Johnny's, he's holding on that bat, and all that he can to get it around, knocks that ball off the tee, and the mama, who's quiet and reserved, says, "Run, Johnny, run! Johnny, run!"
Amen.
Where'd it go?
But in the church now, I'm not saying we ought to bring the t-ball in or the football in. All I'm saying is we'd get above that snake line and we'd make that look like nothing.
Amen.
We'd worship, and along with that there'd be praise.
Amen, brother Gary.
He is the best there is.
That's right.
Amen.
There's
right.
Nobody like him.
That's right.
Church, God's been good.
Yes.
Amen.
Don't let the devil slither in.
Yeah.
Amen.
Pull together so that collectively, as well as individually, you can strive to stay above the snake line.
Yes.
I'm anxious to hear when I get to come back that it wasn't just every month this year, but it's every month next year as well.
Amen.
God's good.
Yes.
And God is blessing. We need to pull together. Stay above the snake line.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. The preacher's coming. Lord, we sure thank you for this place. And Lord, Barbara and I have traveled enough that we know this is an unusual place.
Bless him, Lord, bless him.
And I pray you continue to bless the work here. Lord, I really intended to be an encouragement. And Lord, I believe these folk do get above the snake line. And I pray you continue to help them to strive together. Help the man of God now as he comes. Give him much discernment on the invitation. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. We heard some tales about different ones. I think we had one here in our town one time that they lowered down in a pit of snakes and stayed in there so long, people paid money to watch it and see him lowered down in there. And it seemed like maybe one time he got bit so many times and maybe that's what happened to him. I'm not sure about that. But you know, a lot of Christians don't live above the snake line. Really, they live in the snake pit.
Yes, you're right.
And they're always wondering why they get bit so much, because they live in the snake pit. And somebody said, I'm amazed at how little God does in our services. I'm amazed at how much God does.
Yes, you're right.
With how we all live.
Yes, amen.
And how little we pray.
Yes.
How little we witness.
Yes.
I'm amazed at how much God does get done. But you know, little as much if God is in it. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. Amen. But we do need to examine our lives every day. And the Bible tells us to examine ourselves and to make sure that we're in the faith. And I think most of the folks here, I'm not to judge, God is, but I think most of the folks here are in the faith. But I think we ought to grow in our Christian life.
Yeah.
I think a lot about this. And you know, some people were saved when they were young and they went to church
maybe one time a month, and now they're 20 years old, they still go one time a month. Some people got saved when they was 15 or 16, and they read the Bible just a little bit every now and then. Now they're 30, 40 years old, they still read the Bible just a little bit every now and then.
Right.
I think we ought to grow as a Christian.
Yeah.
I think we ought to be reading the Bible more. I think we ought to be witnessing more.
Amen.
We ought to be giving more of ourselves to the Lord. The older we get, I don't know where we got this thing that, you know, as you get older, you kind of slack up, let up, and it's no big deal. I think we need to be pressing on the upward way.
Yes, amen.
New heights we're gaining every day. And I read about a fellow mountain climber, climbing way up in, I think, Swiss Alps or somewhere. And he got up there, and something happened, lost his life. When they sent the team in to look for him, they climbed up to high elevations, and they finally found him. And before he died, he drove a sign there in the ground. And the sign said, "I died climbing." And that's how a Christian ought to die.
Amen.
Die climbing. Pressing the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. Set some goals. We set goals for everything else.
You're right.
We set some goals in our Christian life. And my job as a preacher is to try to get people to come as much as I can. And I try to do that. But I got no sense, you know, if a fella ain't coming at all and starts coming one Sunday a month, he's doing better than he was doing. If a fella ain't never read the Bible, he starts reading a few verses every day, he's doing better than he did do. But don't stop there.
Yeah, amen.
Keep going, keep growing with the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right, preachers, give us a good warning there. I believe it's from the Lord. And the old devil's always looking for a way to get in. I try to preach that to you pretty often. Now that we need to strive to keep the unity
of the Spirit. Yep.
Because the devil, I kind of think about him like a little song I used to hear when I was a kid. Talked about the bold eagle looking for a home. I think that's the way the devil is. You know, he is homeless. He got kicked out of his home, and he is homeless. And so he's always looking for a place and somebody to take him in.
That's right.
He can't get in if we don't take him in.
Right.
But if we take him in, open the door, he'll come right in. That's why the Bible says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give him a place in your life. Because when you give the devil a place, it won't be long he'll own the place. That's just the way the devil is. Amen. All right, we're going to have an invitation. Brother Nathan's going to lead it there from the piano. And if you need to come pray, you can come and pray today. Pulpit I've had for 35 years, and it's a big old thing. thing about this wide, about this long. Most people never see it. They never comment on it. If they do, I preach here every Sunday. A lot of times I don't even see it. You say, what is it? I'm ready. What's this pass or run for a preacher? It says fear of men or women, merely imitating, pride, laziness, money. Facing my pulpit, I put on there many, many years ago. It's there every Sunday. But sometimes it's because it's there every Sunday, I don't see it every Sunday. Sometimes you hear the preaching every Sunday, but you don't hear it. You see it, but you don't see it.
Yes.
So, you know, we need to keep our eyes open, our ears open to what God's saying. Now, nobody understands a preacher but a preacher. And even your wife don't understand you as a preacher.
Bless him, Lord.
I've heard James Jones, who's a great prince of a preacher. And I heard Brother James, he'll be here in our Jubilee next year, but I heard Brother James say preaching. He said nobody understands a preacher but a preacher. And he said even their family don't understand them. And he said it's not their fault. They can't understand them.
That's right.
Because they've not been called to the Lord. They don't realize they do things just to be doing them. They do things because God's called them. And a preacher, if he's a real preacher, he does what Solomon says. And the Bible said the preacher sought out words and acceptable words. Yeah. And he sought out what God wanted. I never take it lightly when a preacher comes in here. I'm always interested to hear what God wants him to say to us. Because I believe God knows the future. God knows what's ahead.
Amen.
And I don't take it lightly when a preacher preaches this message tonight to give us a warning. Amen.
Right. Yes.
And
right.
So we need to listen. We need to hear. I need to listen. I need to hear. Because I guarantee you one thing. The devil, he wants in every church.
Yes.
And he wants in this church.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a given. He hates this place.
That's right, Brother Rick.
And he would love nothing better. And to rip it right down the middle,
you're
tear
right.
it in shreds,
right.
stick a sign up out front, and it closed.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to do. That's his aim. That's his goal. But he can't do it unless we give him a place to do it. Now, God wants to bless this place. He wants to show how that God can take a little handful of ground, the middle of town, bad section of town, put a little building there.
Bless
it. Over the years, bless it, save some folks, put a congregation together, and put something there for the glory of God.
Amen, brother.
For the glory of God. That's what
Amen.
God wants. He
That's
wants
right.
to, he wants to bless. He wants to show what he can do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're going to have one more verse of that song. And if you need to come pray, you come. If not, we're going to close here. Good night.